ChatGPT reveals their best ever. It's got 4.0s. AMD is done with Windows 10 and AMD's starting with a fresh slate on their GPUs. Let's get into the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. And we're going to start off today talking about the OpenAI announcement that happened yesterday with regards to ChatGPT 4.0, which they showcased as an ability to have many different models congruently happening at the same time so that you can have real-time audio-video conversations with emotional speech. So ChatGPT 4.0 is essentially the best of everything that ChatGPT has been thus far, improved a little bit, and with things like reduced latency, getting down to as little input latency as 232 milliseconds and an average of 320, which is significantly less than what it used to be. The O in GPT 4.0 stands for Omni or Omni Model because it can do text, audio, image, and it can generate those as well. Previously, all of this would take many seconds, not just milliseconds, so this appears to be a great reduction for OpenAI with regards to this models, and they showed how it compares to other models that are currently out there in the free world. One of the things that they did discuss was the fact that you can do a whole bunch more with it in real time definitely brings up safety concerns, so they said that they are working to create those guardrails and they're going to be improving them as time goes on. But this was a pretty impressive 20-minute showcase from OpenAI with regards to what the capabilities are. They did have to have the devices actually physically hardwired, which they said was to maintain a stable internet connection, which there's been plenty of demos in the past that have been hampered by having really bad signal in whatever demonstration environment that they happen to be in. It does bring up a little bit of like suspicion, I guess, especially when you've seen things like Google fake some of their demos before. OpenAI Sora still hasn't actually released to the public for people to be able to use. And even videos that they've put out on their Twitter account after a fact showing various different ways that this thing can work, they actually cut out some of the videos. There are some hard cuts in this where you're not necessarily sure what happens in between. All of this is demos. Definitely, they are using leading questions of things that they know that this model can handle very well. But with its ability to respond in conversational tone, have inflection and tons of emotion, and almost respond in real time, it's having a lot of people compare this to the movie Her, which starred Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, where you can actually have an AI waifu that you can converse with on a very easy and seamless basis. It kind of gives off that vibe. It can do other things like walk you through various different math equations that you're trying to learn by looking at them and then describing to you the next step that you're going to want to take. Additionally, it can do things like live translation between two different language speakers. And some of the big additional things is that it's going to be bringing ChatGPT over to desktop with a Mac app actually being released so that it can actually interact with whatever you're doing on your computer, which means it has access to all of those details. But this finally kind of brings everything to the region of what both Humane and Rabbit were trying to get their devices to be, just actually conversational real-time devices that can engage with the world around you. But now it's being brought to ChatGPT, which can be found on phones and computers worldwide. You don't have to spend any extra money on a gizmo or a gadget in order to do that. And there are some behind the scenes reports that Apple themselves are trying to pen a deal with OpenAI to bring the ChatGPT setup over to the iPhone to kind of be the AI assistant that Siri was always supposed to be. And it's not necessarily odd for Apple to do this, considering that Siri was also an acquired company for them. They have brought in outside things in order to build out their platform. Honestly, that was the vibe that I got from the ChatGPT 4.0 demonstration. It just felt like a very robust personal assistant on your phone that can kind of help you in multi different modalities to make it so that you can engage with the world around you more effectively with these AI models. There are times where it misunderstands, responds too quickly, doesn't actually get the context right, but thankfully with this new interaction model, you can interrupt it while it's giving you the answer and reframe the conversation very quickly, which is something that you used to have to wait for previously. It appears to be a pretty comprehensive, sweeping change that they've made. And somebody even released this demo video of them like singing to each other because they have singing intonations now. And you can check that out. We'll have that link in the video description below as part of our sources. But it's an intriguing piece of technology. They did say that GPT-5 or whatever the next iteration is going to be announced a little later on with 4.0 is going to start releasing and it's going to be free for everybody to use with paid users getting five times as much access to it. And it's also going to be connected to the API API as well. Big overhauls and advancements on that side. I'm curious, are you using ChatGPT more, less than you were this time last year? Is it something that's burgeoning in your life, or was it something that was novel at first, but now you have less and less use case for it? I'm curious to hear how it's been implemented in your workflow or in your enthusiasm flow. Let me know down below in those comments. Well, I let you know that GameStop is back as a meme stonk, because yesterday the influencer who was behind the initial surge in GameStop with its short selling and rocketing to the moon, Roaring Kitty, decided to tweet for the first time in a long time. And as you can see right now, it is 80% up on the day. And the tweet, in case you're wondering, is not that intense, but it's just a simple meme of somebody gaming more inclined in their gamer stance. And then from that point, they have continuously posted video memes on various different things from different movies. It's been an odd day. It's an odd day for GameStop, but they're shooting to the moon currently at the moment. We'll see if the rally holds today. But this is also supposed to be off the backs of the same things that caused the initial stock rise back in 2021, which was that the GameStop short sellers are over leveraged. There's more shares that are leveraged than there should be. And so this could be taken advantage of, allegedly. That's what's going on. That's not financial advice, but meme stonks back for a little bit, and AMD back for more than a little bit, because there was a major leak yesterday about Dell's upcoming plans for all of their notebooks. This is actually a pretty big deal, pretty comprehensive leak. Video Cards released all of this showing what Dell's plans are, and it gave us details on various different companies and what their plans are going to be. Number one, AMD is going to get rolled into the XPS laptop economy sometime in 2027 as part of the XPS 16 Performante setup, which could potentially be moved until 2028 with an 80-watt TDP, but that's also going to include Intel and Qualcomm in that XPS 16 range. But speaking of Qualcomm, there are leaked indications of their next generation Orion V2 and V3, which Orion V2 should be coming out in the second half of next year, which V3 will come out 2 years later in late 2027. But Intel not being spared from the leak, because Nova Lake is supposed to be debuting in 2027, with us being able to look forward to Panther Lake coming in early 2026, Arrow Lake going to be early 2025, and Lunar Lake potentially just towards the end of Q3 of this year. That's a lot of details coming from one presentation. Whatever Dell did, somebody got their hands on whatever they were presenting and then decided to put that out on the internet. But we do have some indication of roadmaps moving forward. All of this kind of lines up with things that we already knew, and then these are new details, just like the fact that the next gen Intel mobile CPU is going to be called Nova Lake, which will be past Celestial Graphics. I'm not sure what Intel's going to name that, but it'll start with a D for sure. And AMD is done with Windows 10, at least according to reports that are coming out. This is a report on how fast the Strix Point APUs are supposed to be with Zen 5. It's supposed to be about 10% faster, but one of the details coming out from that is that AMD is not going to provide Windows 10 drivers starting with Strix Point. So this new launch that they're supposed to be having next month is actually going to not support Windows 10 anymore, and you're going to be forced to go on over to Windows 11 or Linux. But Windows 10 is dying. Everybody's done supporting it, even though it's not officially end of life from Microsoft itself. You need to get used to your new dad, friends, because it's Reese. He's your new dad.
Yo, welcome back to EFT Deals, bringing the hottest tech deals out on the internet. Happy not Monday, everyone, but there are deals, so let's go with that instead. And starting off today, we have this Cuddy 5-port gigabit Ethernet switch for only $7.74 with the coupon applied, making it $5.16 off. And I know some of you guys collect these like candy, so it might be good to have a backup or six in the drawer. But then next up, we have this NZXT H7 Elite Edition ATX mid-tower case available in black for only $99.99 with the promo code applied, making it $80 off. And then lastly, we have this gorgeous Asus ROG Strix B650A Gaming Wi-Fi AM5 motherboard for only $199.99 with the promo code applied, making it $60 off. And hey, with that, the deals are done. You can find these and more linked in the video description down below. But until next time, I'm gonna hand you off back to Brad for the rest of your hot news. Cheers.
Well, Reese, the small deal when it comes to Intel's Battlemage discrete graphics is that they're popping up in an LLVM project. You can see it there. Battlemage G21 popping up in some driver details, which likely means that it's going to come out at some point, which we already knew. We're expecting it towards the end of the year, but new indications that it's being worked on, and Square Enix is working on themselves, because this past year has not been good to them, with them announcing that they have a new business strategy to aggressively pursue, which includes putting different games on multiple platforms, including Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, and PCs, which is a far cry from how they've been doing things with things like Final Fantasy 16 and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. Those were PlayStation 5, at least timed exclusives. Final Fantasy 16 is supposed to release on PC sometime later this year. 7 Rebirth, if I had to guess, will be likely sometime next year. But Square Enix acknowledging that they are not reaching their financial targets. They've done several things like sell off their Western arm, including Eidos Montreal and Crystal Dynamics, and that they've had cannibalization of their new titles, and that certain games have not gotten enough profit as they expected. But what they're going to do to combat that is not necessarily release more games like Marvel's Avengers, which did not work out for them, but rather go for quality over quantity, shifting from quantity to quality specifically, and be bold in attempting to create new IPs, prioritizing novel forms of excitement. So this could be a good move for Square Enix moving forward, or it could result in more games like Forspoken, which are not just well received, and even though they're a creative direction, not necessarily something that people actually wants to play. So we'll see how this new strategy works out for them. But the games industry is shifting and shaking a lot, which Asus wants you to think is happening with their next-gen ROG Ally, the Ally X. But turns out it's there's not much that's changing to it. Number one, it's going to have a black chassis, which is just slightly different, but it's going to be based on the same Z1 Extreme. It's going to have the exact same screen of 7 inches, 1080p, 120 hertz. And what Asus has already let us know is that it's going to have more battery life. It's going to have a larger battery. Expectations are 40% larger for the ROG Ally X. Also, indications are that it's going to have more than 16 gigabytes of memory, which could potentially mean 24 or 32 gigs. But also with that, the details are coming out that it's going to cost $100 more. So you're paying for the reskin, slightly better battery life, and slightly more RAM. How RAM limited an ROG Ally is not very much for most people, so that likely won't yield too much higher performance. But they're also supposed to be changing the thermal setup next to the SD card, so hopefully that doesn't die on this new version. I don't know if it's necessarily worth the extra $100, but that does put it more in line with where the MSI Claw is and the Lenovo Legion Go. I'm curious to see how it plays out for them. I'm not necessarily too hopeful that this is going to be an incredibly fast-moving handheld console. But AMD is apparently moving fast on RDNA 5, especially because new details are coming out on what RDNA 4 is supposed to be, and that RDNA 5 is actually going to be a blank sheet or fresh slate for them. Because according to a well-known leaker who got details on the RX 6050 refresh, the 6650 XT, the 6750 XT, the 6950 XT, they've come out from their rumor hibernation to indicate that things like RDNA 3 didn't actually meet its performance expectation. And so because of this, AMD has essentially worked to bug fix RDNA 3, and that's what the RX 8000 series GPU is going to be. And with that, they've also canceled the high-end GPU, so don't expect it to beat much that's currently on the market. Think of it maybe more a little bit like a super refresh, except for it's supposed to have huge improvements in ray tracing. According to this, the highest end RDNA 4 might not be faster than a 7900 XT, but RDNA 5 is going to be that clean sheet similar to a Zen design. So going from what we had with Bulldozer and the FX series over to Ryzen, that's what this leaker is communicating is going to be happening for the next gen. AMD is finally revamping and refreshing what they have so that AMD can revamp and make more of their GPUs without being beholden to what the current architecture actually is. If that's true, that's amazing. But I just need to point out that that kind of statement has been continuously communicated for the last several generations. When we were on Polaris, it was like, no, Vega's gonna be the big deal. And then when Vega 56 and 64 came out and they were good for basically only crypto mining, people were like, no, we're waiting for big Vega. And Radeon 7 dropped like a long time after the 1080 Ti, and that's about as good as it was, but Nvidia already had the 2080 Ti out. And then people were like, no, wait for Navi. And then AMD came out with the 5700 XT because they couldn't actually come out with a higher end card. And so people were like, no, you need to wait for big Navi. Big Navi is the one we were talking about, which is what the RX 6000 series ended up being. So you got the 6900 XT, which was an all right GPU at a very high price. That card ended up being $1,000 and could not beat what Nvidia had out on the market. And now we're hearing, okay, we'll take a mulligan on this next gen RX 8700 XT. It's not going to necessarily be anything good, but the RX 9000 series, that's the big moment. Okay, listen, We're retooling like we did with the 5700 XT, okay? 8700 XT is going to be a little dip, but then when you get the 9950 XTX Ultra Edition, that's going to finally put NVIDIA away forever. Wait for it. It's a very tired game, but I'm excited watching it. I like it. I want AMD to be competitive. I like hearing about what they've got planned behind the scenes, and I want to see it come to fruition. If they can actually have a Zen moment with their GPUs and put NVIDIA to task and actually reclaw all of the market share just like they've done with Ryzen. I mean, we talked about it in yesterday's episode of Hot News that AMD is at its highest market share ever in terms of CPU. That all started 6-7 years ago when Ryzen first came out, and they've been slowly chipping away at that advantage. If we could have that watershed moment with GPUs, I would be so happy. But there are more details coming out for RDNA 4. Somebody is jamming code into Linux. 24,000 lines of RDNA code being put into the mainstream driver that's being found out, which likely could indicate that it's going to be launching sometime soon. But let me know what you think of AMD having its Zen clean sheet, fresh slate, blank chip block moment for RDNA 5. I want to hear from you down below in the comments while I look at comments from yesterday's episode of Hot News. Over on Floatplane, Little Nicky Scarfo says, I still have a subscription to OpenAI. Though I find it still useful, I'm now having to tell it to find me things as it seems to want to use its internal information rather than search the internet for it. You should be using Copilot then. Then over on YouTube, we got CYKO saying, 4070 level APU is wild. It would make insane SFF builds. I do think I did a bad job yesterday. I kind of conflated two different conversations in what I was talking about with the Strix Halo APU. The 4070 performance was in comparison to 4070 mobile, which a lot of people in the comments like want to crap on, but a 4070 mobile is close to a 4060, 4060 Ti desktop. If we get that in APU form this year, that's fantastic. I don't understand harsh in the mellow on that. But then also, I did talk a lot about it being in a desktop APU form. I really hope it does come to that, but that could potentially take on a different shape. It likely won't compare to a 4070 desktop. But even being 4070 mobile in an integrated graphics in a single chip, that's fantastic. Then Eli saying he said May 13th, 2023. I did. I misspoke. I think it was the 3 and the 13. Just got me all twisted up. I'm sorry for transporting y'all 1 year in the past. Let's go back to the future now, okay? And then Regnito saying, my 970 died about a month ago. RIP in peace. That card was a real trooper despite the VRAM debacle. By the end of its life, it was no longer in my main gaming system, but was being used to introduce my children to PC gaming. Long live the 970. F for respects for your 970. And then Arnisius saying, hi, how are ya? Linux nerd here. I love it. Okay, this is starting off on a great chipper tone. A lot of Linux nerds do not start conversations in ways that are received very well, but this feels like you're not going to belittle me. With them saying, the importance of NVIDIA shift is rather significant. NVIDIA notoriously has been a thorn in the side of the Linux community for consistently using a closed source driver that was developed internally at the company. This is in stark contrast to AMD's drivers, which is fully community developed driver. While their proprietary drivers were fine and usable, they often lagged behind in relative performance and feature wise compared to AMD's completely community driven open source driver. NVIDIA shifting to an open source kernel driver going forward means they will see support much faster for new features and modules. All the different features we could see gets a bit in the weeds, but marked to say, we'll definitely see better game performance and a more stable experience on Linux. An important note, they're only open sourcing the kernel level driver, while the user space level driver will still be closed. Still, it's good to see progress all the same. That's the best I'm able to explain it. If I miss something, I'm sure a fellow Linux nerd will be loudly correcting me in the replies. Hey, we know the same people, turns out. Somebody did respond to this being like, the Nuvo drivers are better, but part of that is that the head of the Nuvo project is now working at NVIDIA for all of this, and it appears to be that this kernel level open driver change is actually part of the advancement of what they're trying to do with open drivers for Linux. So while I don't understand the details of why this particularly matters in the nitty gritty, I do know that it matters a lot to the community, and it does seem like NVIDIA is actually making good on that hire of the head of Nuvo and is marching forward with plans that seem in line with that original promise. And then Hobo Swaggin saying, why is there a cheese grater in the background? What are you making? Okay, this right here, it's my shredder. It's my cheese shredder. It's one of the first little heirlooms I bought when I moved back to the US in 2019, and Reese helped me pick it out, and I found it and I put it on the set, and the cheese shredder is gonna be back here. I also don't know if I ever highlighted this little design Catelyn made for me. She sent this back with my wife last year when my wife visited, and it's got onions and it's got Pizza John, it's got onions and onions, and it's fantastic. It's an homage to my onion shirt. I love it. And then we also got a Hot News color dumpster fire back here. And we got a Rocco Mama's cup that I didn't steal from Rocco Mama's in South Africa. I just asked the server, hey, can I have it? And he handed me a bag and he said, I didn't see you take it. I tipped him very well. And then we also have D's nuts. I don't know why we have pickle flavored D's nuts back there, but we got pickle flavored D's nuts. And then also, you can't see it, but I got this little treasure chest. This is Jerry Rig Everything's Not a Wheelchair coins. This is like a way to donate to his project where you get something physical back. It doesn't really do much for me, but I believe in the project of what he's doing, trying to make wheelchairs and not wheelchairs more accessible to people who need it at a price point that's affordable, with it also being available in the US. And with knowing just how difficult getting accessible equipment is, I very much support what Jerry Rig Everything's doing. So I also have that back here. It's sitting here every day. You just can't see it. I've got a whole bunch of coins. If you want to send something that could potentially be featured on the Hot News set, you could send it to our PO box. In case you're interested, you could come over to Twitch and ask people about it over there. Because we do Fan Mail Friday every single Friday. So if you send something that I deem is worthy to go on the Hot News set, it could find its way over here. It's a possibility. And it's possible that this episode of Hot News is over. I'll see you back here for more of the Hot Tech News tomorrow, my friends.